This is another episode of Brunch with the Hollowells. I'm your host, Rob, and I'm here with a sickly Ryan today. But the show must go on, right?
Ryan, I made it, Rob. I made it. I'm here.
That voice is combination congestion, combination the Rona. Probably got the Rona. Do you have the Rona?
Almost definitely. It has to be. It has to be.
The Omarion, you got that too?
If I have the Rona, I want Omarion. That's the type I want. I couldn't miss a brunch.
Yeah.
Contaminate you all. it,
Ryan is pulling through for all of you. He is making sure we don't skip a beat. I thank you, Ryan, for pulling through. I am not somebody who is whipping people in the back, making them
no,
do this show.
Not at all. He was going to not have an episode this week. And yeah. I know for him to do that, I couldn't let him. So
yeah, he's going to push through. We will figure out next week. Hopefully he gets better. This has been going on for
God,
a little
by
bit.
Then, oh my God, by then I better be much better.
Well, what? Let's not keep him so he can get back to sleep. Let's get started. What an episode. We are doing Imaginary Friends. What did you think about episode 20?
Oh, it's so, I'm so glad that this is the episode that I've come out of hiding for. I couldn't miss this week. No, I loved it. I loved it.
This, I thought, was a fun episode, and I can't believe it's been this long since we've seen. Well, it makes sense that the good Wyatt comes in on this season, of course. But at the same, it's just
if it was the last season.
I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, this is it, you know? Like, if it was the last season, was this a good final episode to see how Wyatt's doing? You know, would we have been okay about his future? Is this enough? You know, we got Chris a whole season. We get good Wyatt for one episode.
No, because even Piper was convinced that he was going to turn out evil at the end. So, we would have been like,
I have been teasing this episode over a while. Like every other week, I'm like, oh, I want to hear this quote. I want to see this face. And it's finally here. It was a fun episode. Was it the best episode of the season? No, not at all. But I had a lot of fun with this one. So we'll get more into detail. What was that moment in this episode? Did a moment?
I think it might be the moment that you have been talking about.
Yes, that is definitely my play. Oh,
that
God,
is
I love that
definitely,
scene.
That is definitely my play myself. Rob, do you want to introduce the scene? Because it is that.
So this is the scene where we get just a fraction, just a glimpse, a little taste, the peak of the iceberg, just a little bit of what Wyatt's powers look like when he's 25 years old. And oh my God. So he's standing there looking all pacifist as ever. He's wearing the bright wardrobe to indicate goodness. He's got the cut hair. He's talking so like polite and just soft. And then you attack his family. That deep voice comes out demanding to be heard. And then he stay away from my family. And then he just puts up his hands and the entire attic almost blows up as like Prue did. And they just obliterate. They just burn and like, whoa, love it.
We'll get into it later.
Yes, we'll get into it later. So yeah, that's definitely my play. How about MVP? Who is your MVP?
I am going with actually an old favorite, an old reliable, and it's going to be Paige. not so much for like actions per se, but Rose Paige, she was just really funny for me this week. I found her extra like comical and the way she said certain lines, which I will also say, really liked her this week. I mean, of course, when don't I like Paige, but...
I am actually giving it to Leo this week.
Wow.
I really enjoyed a lot of the decision-making that Leo was given this episode, and we'll get more into that. But obviously, he found out about the solution to how to get Wyatt back, the way that he played himself at the end. I mean, it was also very comforting to see a somewhat good relationship between Wyatt and his son. It felt a little weird to even watch it, 'cause I'm like, I'm not used to this. Like, he's an estranged dad, you know, like you would think that Wyatt would also have this like discomfort Chris, but no, it was like, they were actually getting along, and I just liked seeing that. And so just gaining Wyatt's trust at the end and just making him, we'll get into it, but I'm giving it to Leo. I just think he did a great job this episode, and I'll share my reasons why. Now, Ryan, I don't know if you were too sick to notice, but did any men make your hot man meter this week?
Rob, I would have to be blind not to add this week. So, yes, I did.
Yes, I definitely added somebody this week. Hallelujah, it's raining men. Why don't we get started? Yes. We are going to do season 7, episode 20, Imaginary Friends. Now, this original air date was May 8th, 2005, and this was written by Henry Alonzo Myers and directed by Jonathan West. Guest stars include Wes Ramsey as adult Wyatt Hollowell. We have Marcus Chait as Vicus. We have Billy Kay as Hugo. Susan Santiago as Miss Henderson, with Christina Carlisi as Professor Slotkin. Baby Wyatt's imaginary friend is actually a demon trying to gain his trust to turn him evil. Piper's spell inadvertently brings an evil 25-year-old Wyatt back from the future, who now wants to crush the good in baby Wyatt. So Piper has enrolled Wyatt in a preschool. Wyatt has apparently been talking to himself. Unknown to the Charmed Ones and Leo, he is in fact talking to a demon, Vicus, who has cast a spell on himself so that only Wyatt can see him. Vicus is after Wyatt's teddy bear. Phoebe talks to one of her professors, who suggests that Wyatt has an imaginary friend. All right, so disclaimer, I'm going to do a lot of the synopsis reading today because I want Ryan's voice to rest. But also, this synopsis was poorly written, or I shouldn't say poorly written, but a lot of details were taken out. So I'm going to try and fill in the blanks for you this week, which is not a problem. I don't mind. But first thing I want to know from you, Ryan, two things actually. First, do you believe that Wyatt should have been enrolled in public school, or should he have been enrolled in magic school?
Knowing Wyatt, I would say magic school.
I agree.
Now, I know we don't like magic school per se, although I wonder how well-adjusted those magic school kids are. Like, do they have normal? Do they go home and they go home to normal life, and are their friends only at magic school? Because you can't say what school you go to. I'm wondering.
I would have sent Wyatt to magic school when he has more control over his powers, when he's matured enough and has more of the capacity to understand the difference between right and wrong, all of that good stuff. If he wants to experience, you know, public school, have at it. I mean, do you even think that Wyatt even has retained, well, I guess in this episode, it does say that he retained a little memory, because adult Wyatt, you know, obviously recognized Vicus, but like, I just think it's too early.
Yeah.
It's too early to give Wyatt the normal life at 2 years old. Just go to magic school. Also, did you happen to have an imaginary friend?
No, Rob, I had an imaginary friend, because everyone had them, I thought. So I made up having the imaginary friend. Like, I'm like, I'll just say that I got one. But I didn't, Rob. Did you?
So what group of friends are you kicking it with who all had imaginary friends that you needed to make up one?
I think it was just TV shows and like, you're like, I think I'm supposed to have an imaginary friend. So I'm just going to say that I had one, but no, Rob, no. I wish I did though now.
I actually did have one.
Did you?
I did. I can't really say if it was literally in my head or if I made it up just like you did.
What if it was a ghost?
I remember having one, and it wasn't like for a long time or anything. I mean, I was surrounded by cousins that were somewhat around my age, so I kept busy. But, you know, I'm a very introverted, like solitude type of child. And yeah, there were moments where I would talk to myself or feel that somebody was there that I could talk. Yeah, I did. His name was Brandon.
Oh my God. I love that. Oh my God, Brandon.
But I mean, to the extent of that, it's not like I drew pictures of us together or anything like that. I was just going to
say, did you draw pictures?
No, like, no, it wasn't to that extent. No, I know, right? So Phoebe was serving cleavage today. She looked so good. Did you notice this first outfit that she comes in?
It was like a dressed up cleavage though, right? It was like a very like formal cleavage. Like I'm going out to like a party, but I want to show a little cleavage.
No, she looked pretty good, but yeah, she was serving pretty well. So you know what's funny about this particular scene, right? So you send your kid off to school, and honestly, it should be, for a parent, the scariest thing ever. Mm. So take this episode, for instance, right?
Yeah.
Vicus, this guy who knows how long he has been secretly talking to Wyatt, right?
It's terrible.
And his parents have no freaking clue that this is happening, right? I mean, you rely on the teachers to give you as much information as possible about what's going on. But you send your kid off to a building for the entire day, not knowing anything that he's doing. A big chunk of Wyatt's day is missed by his parents, and you have no idea what's going on. So I'm sure parents out there, this is a lot. And I applaud your bravery because I just can't imagine just being like, take my child for a while, you know, and not knowing what's going on.
My mother used to look through the window at the kindergarten. She used to make sure for like the first few, I think, things she was terrified. Yeah.
But yeah, just watching this and Leo showing concern. And again, just finding out that he's been talking to a demon this whole time. Like, that's scary. So, I mean, I can only imagine for parents, to be honest.
Wouldn't you be worried from now on about invisible demons?
Yeah.
Continuously like talking to Wyatt.
Exactly. Exactly. So I thought Vicus was a great villain.
Yes.
I thought he was very strategic. And I also think this is a great plan. Yes, of course. His shimmering, though. Oh, my God. His shimmering looked great. It was very Afraid of the Dark to me.
You know, I was thinking that and Cheshire Cat.
Yes, yes.
How it goes. By the way, Rob, oh my God, I just finally saw the Are You Afraid of the Dark. I'm catching up on everything now.
Oh, fun.
It's the top hat. Oh my God, I loved it.
Wait, which one is that?
That was the first one, I guess, I missed with Mr. Top Hat with the Doom, Carnival of Doom, that miniseries.
Oh, you're watching the new series.
So good. Oh my God.
No, yes. You need to watch second season. Second season Afraid of the Dark is some scary ass shit. I was creeped out because the demon in that, like, there are a lot of great scare scenes and like close-ups. This monster has no boundaries. He will attack a kid no problem at all. Watch the second season. It's so much better. It's so much better.
Oh wow. And I thought the first I'm excited because the first one was fantastic.
Yeah. So what also happened in this scene before we get to the next is that Phoebe is also being accused of stealing sound bites and teachings from her professor for her column. They didn't really get deep into the storyline, but apparently there are things that she used answering questions that sounded very similar to what she learned in school. Now, I don't know if it was like word for word, but they didn't really question, because usually Phoebe is like naive about some of the things that she does.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't know that she's doing them until somebody calls them out. Do you think, I mean, she wasn't deliberately trying to steal, but do you think that her being naive once again, she just ended up like taking somebody else's work? What do you think about the behind?
I'm glad you brought this up, Rob, because I was dying to hear your opinion on this, because to me, when I first saw this, I was like, oh my God, that professor. I remember her a little out of nowhere. She just turns like, oh my God, this professor. But looking at it now, when you said that, in a way, it's like, well, if Phoebe is actually almost the same week. Yes, I understand you're learning something and you want to imply what you're learning into your work, which is what she said. But if it seems like there's a pattern now and this teacher's picking up on it, I don't know. Would you be offended as a teacher and almost say the same, like you're plagiarizing basically my stuff? I mean, we don't know how much she's actually putting into there, but
well, that's the thing. I think it depends on how she wrote it and in what context, because at a certain point you have to cite where you're getting your information from. And if it sounded way too similar from her learning it in class, I would be like, oh, I learned in class that yada 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 from my teacher. But if she's not citing her, then that's a problem. So it just really depends how she wrote it.
So early on, we find out there's this plot that Paige is saying that every time the phone rings, a demon attacks, similar to the electrical demon that we had in season 4 with
electricity. I remember that. Yes.
During this attack, it actually does happen. She's talking to Piper, and this does happen. I kept saying she tells Piper to blow the demon up, right? But the demon is throwing an energy ball at them. Paige. Orb the energy ball back. You've done this 100 times. She sat there like, Piper! Like, like that was the only thing. I'm like, come on, Paige. Energy ball. I mean, she threw a potion that missed or whatever the hell, but
she's a white lighter now. She can't be using her powers killing demons left and right. she's got to learn that pacifist now.
Like, that's the other thing, Rob. Honestly, and I think we might have said this in one of the other episodes, oh my God, I sound like Bobby Brady going through puberty right now. Maybe by the end of this, Charmies, my voice will be deeper when I return.
It's the sexiest thing. He sounds so good, sick. That deep voice.
Every week now. The elders should not have made Paige a white lighter at this moment, I think. She has too much going on.
You know, I mean, but does she, though? I mean, look, she continuously keeps complaining that she has no life. She's either bored, restless. Like, apparently she has all the time she needs to do this. I hear you, though. Because to learn a different skill, having to travel around the world while being a charm one, yes. She is just not some typical soon-to-be, you know, white lighter that, you know, has a rite of passage. Like, her schedule and timing have to be precise in order for her to keep with her charm duties. Did you find that Paige was not like doing her charm thing in this episode?
I think, you know, like, I'm just putting myself in there that she herself is a witch, right? So she's fighting a demon. Her charge is screaming because he's dead or whatever. He's bleeding to death. Oh, and she can't heal him anyway, so I don't understand that either. What is the point, like, to make her go away from the charm duty, which should be the most important at this time? I'm thinking, yes, when their duty is over, when their destiny has been fulfilled this time, that is when Paige, I thought, should be getting this. Like, so more and more, I'm like, why are they pulling her away when they're constantly dealing with demons anyway? I don't know. I mean, I get it, but I just felt like I had to say it. And then holy shit, this line from Paige is really what gave her the MVP. Wyatt's only talking to himself, and Piper goes, how do you know that? And she's like, I heard a message. The way she said, I heard a message. Love it. Love it.
So Piper concocts a spell to try to understand Wyatt. The spell is, help this mother understand the thoughts inside her little man. Though his mouth be quiet, let us hear his inner Wyatt. And in the process, summons a future Wyatt, a good Wyatt, quite different from the evil Witch King of Crist Cross. Adult Wyatt walks into baby Wyatt's room and sees Vicus talking to baby Wyatt. Vicus, spooked, shimmers away. In his lair, he realizes that the witch who surprised him was a future Wyatt. Okay, so let's just talk about Wes Ramsey. He returns. This spell backfires, right? Or I don't even know if it is a backfire. Maybe this is literally what was supposed to happen.
Destiny, yeah.
I'm not sure. Okay, let's just get this out of the way. Hot man meter, Wes Ramsey.
Yes,
he looks fucking beautiful. Love the way he looks. And this is the start of Ryan and I's like queer centric theory. We think he is the gayest man ever, but that's just based on dumb stereotype. But he is just the sweetest man.
He's too polite.
I love this man. I love the way he looks. I just think he's so nice and smiley. And I just, I love him. I love him. So yes, hot man meter for me.
Hot man meter for me too. But Rob, here's my question. I know you like your men with long hair.
Well, I like a lot of different types. So yes, long hair is one of them. Do I prefer it on Wes Ramsey's adult Wyatt? I actually prefer the short hair.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I mean, that also just comes with the personality or whatever. It's more that's about true. That than yeah. his look. So that's just me. So Wyatt is super, super happy looking when Vicus is around, right? The little Wyatt. I'm not talking about adult Wyatt. So like small Wyatt, when he's, you know, talking to him or whatever, because Vicus is like, I'll be back. And he goes, yay. You know, he's like, this is the first time I've ever seen this child smile. And it's just like, yay. I love it. I just think it's, I know, right? Exactly.
He's like, yeah, future psychopath.
I just think it's adorable. So I do enjoy that the spell, of course, in charm fashion, necessarily doesn't backfire, but it makes sense that adult Wyatt comes in because Wyatt can't talk. We need adult Wyatt to talk for him, right?
Right.
But I think that this is a very risky outcome for a spell like that to come about that way, because this could potentially be a very very damaging if Wyatt was to reveal anything from the future.
Right.
You know, like we talk about time travel all the time and you can't mess with it and we can't know things. So why would a charm spell result in this way by bringing somebody back from the future? That's a little weird, in my opinion.
The only thing I could say is they did it only they had the guest appearance, but because this was a way of letting Piper feel better about everything.
And I would agree with you if they had kind of hinted to that. I mean, I guess her wanting more of the normal life, sending Wyatt to, you know, to public school, use less magic, I guess. But she didn't really reveal any concerns about him being evil still. At least I don't remember. Maybe there was one or two lines in there. But to warrant for future Wyatt to kind of come back and let her know.
I think like, she just said, do we have to deal with this again?
Yeah, or something like that.
Him becoming evil like that or something.
Adult Wyatt says, oh, Piper, you know, you're such an optimist or something. And you become a very, like, where did you hear this? And they're like, Piper, you're the optimist in the future. Paige is like, huh? And that's what's also really fun, too, is that to those who know her, Piper, an optimist, are you kidding me? So yes, that was very laughable and definitely deserved a chuckle for saying that Piper is actually an optimist at this point. Now, season one, we probably could have said that, but like now, oh, hell no.
No, yeah, no. She's always waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Yeah.
So again, Rob, Paige is adorable in this episode. We find out that she says to Wyatt, do I ever have a life in the future? And then he, is this when he says that she teaches him about, or maybe it's later?
Yeah, well, yeah, it could be now. But anyways, yeah, he mentions that, who do you think taught me to be a white lighter? Very cute.
Very cute. And it makes you think, like, okay, so...
She didn't give up magic. She didn't give up magic.
She didn't give up magic. No, she didn't give up magic. And Leo, I guess, wasn't... Or she just, more, you know, she played that aunt and wanted to give him more, you know, white lighter knowledge. So I love that. And again, I do love that this is similar to Chris coming back, which is similar to the girls going back to the 70s to see, you know, to stop the ring with Nicholas and all that with their mom and Graham. So I do love this generational thing that the kids get to see their parents that they're in their prime, per se. Is this before or after Chris swallows the marble, Rob?
Marble? What marble? That was such a good one. I love it.
And when he sees Chris, it's so adorable, too, because he's like, is this Chris? He's so small.
I know.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So adult Wyatt identifies Vicus in the Book of Shadows. The entry reads, little is known of Vicus except that he is a demon who preys on magical children, turning them down the path of evil. He can cloak himself and become invisible to everyone but his victims. Several of Vicus's henchmen attack, and with Leo distracted, Vicus appears again to baby Wyatt. An adult Wyatt vanquishes the henchmen, but baby Wyatt gives up his teddy bear to Vicus, who curses it with evil. Leo notices the teddy bear in the hands of an unseen figure, just as adult Wyatt transforms into the evil Witch King again and orbs to Vicus's lair in a dark lighter style orbing. So, a lot to uncover in this scene, my goodness. But the first thing that I want to acknowledge is one of the reasons why I chose Leo to be MVP. So, Leo is very concerned and worried about the dangers that's going on upstairs. You can practically hear all of that stuff going down as they're getting attacked, right? He puts, you know, Chris down and Wyatt and watch your brother, yada, yada. But he goes to the stairs, and while he is concerned and worried, he stays safe. He stays close to the kids. He didn't feel all mannish to go up and intervene or try and do something. He trusted the girls to handle it.
And thank God.
He's human, and I think it's great that he acknowledges that he doesn't have any powers. Going up there was going to make the situation worse, and I just love that that simple little factor was written in.
I agree, because that could have gone so bad in so many different ways.
And I know that he wanted to, and it sucks when you have to sit back and you can't do anything, but it was great that he stayed behind. Also, this, again, the play of the week, the scene, you know, leave my yes. family alone. I just...
Leave my family alone.
Oh, it's so good. So even just this sweet boy just still is very threatening when he needs to be. And that voice, that enough, like, oh, I loved it. I love it. What do you think about the strength of his powers?
Oh, my God. It is like, so this is what I wanted to ask you. Is it a combination of what we saw with Prue would have been in the future that it almost, the telekinesis almost does like Piper's? It explodes too. I mean, Wyatt's was even more than Prue's. But is that like telekinesis combustion? Like, did he, or is it just the force of the push of the power that just makes these demons explode and things like that? Like, I couldn't tell if it was like just a force, like a power that just came out that was. That, or is it a telekinesis mixed with
a theory of what that was? Based on Wiki, it says that those were energy waves, and this is through projection.
Okay.
So, if anything, that's what you saw.
Okay, that's the power then. Okay, makes sense then.
Also,
what the hell did they do with that though, Rob? Did they? Do you remember from that scene to after, like, the attic looked like it was put back together, right?
Oh, I didn't really notice.
He exploded that whole freaking attic.
Well, remember that attic is like a two, you know, bedroom house up there. So they probably just filmed the other half that didn't get damaged. So
there you have it.
But okay, so Wyatt Shimmers was very dark lighter. So what do you think about that? I mean, because he is half white lighter, you know, half witch. So turning evil, he has that sort of dark lighter, you know, like features, I guess, which includes the shimmering.
Right. It's almost like, I guess, when we saw in the alternative mirror world where I guess they were dark lighters, Leo and Chris, because they had the dark lighter arrows. So I guess that does make sense. You automatically become a dark lighter if you're half.
I will say that Vicus's henchmen, like their powers were pretty cool. I like that one the whips, and the one demon was able to like summon orbs out of his hands or something, but they were like solid metallic or you know, like, yeah, it wasn't just like energy. It was like contained in something and it like came out of his hand. That was pretty different. I thought that was cool.
Are you surprised they didn't mention that they're trying to do this with Wyatt so they could fight Zanku?
Right, yeah.
Right? Is it that Wyatt never saw Vicus in the Book of Shadows in the future, I guess? Or it was just something that he never really paid attention to until now? Because it was like he flipped through and he was like, oh, there he is, Vicus.
Well, I mean, they never really had a reason. He's invisible to most people, if anybody. So there was no reason to look him up.
But I wonder if he ever flipped through it and was like, I guess, but I don't know. And then I just wrote this. I wrote in just like that, Wyatt turned into Nate.
Because you're horrible.
Your friend Nate, because all of a sudden, he really just, it was like the hair. He just got his Wyatt is evil hair. It's just so crazy. Like, that's the look. That's the look for evil. You get his hair grows and he gets a goatee.
So Paige and Phoebe orb into Vicus's lair. Unable to see Vicus, they throw potions in vain, trying to hit an invisible being. Wyatt reveals Vicus to them, and Paige throws a potion and vanquishes Vicus. I'm doing it to prove a point. But yeah, Wyatt, but Wyatt is unaffected. He summons dozens of demons who attack the sisters. Okay, so he is this evil. Like, he doesn't give a shit. He's like, I'm proving a point. Like, you think Vicus is the one that's keeping me evil? No, I am choosing this route. I chose to be evil. Get over it. You know, I'm not, you know, somebody that can be coerced, convinced. I do it because I want to. And he just was like, that's how evil I am. He orbs to magic school and makes off with baby Wyatt. The sisters and Leo suspect that adult Wyatt wants to take baby Wyatt back to the future so he will be beyond his family's reach. He needs the Book of Shadows, though, to do this. But being evil, he cannot approach the book. Phoebe suggests setting a trap for him, and Leo agrees to be the bait because he lacks power and neither Wyatt will see him as a threat. Okay, so I wrote a lot here, so bear with me. This is what I want to cover first. So with the bear being cursed, exactly what was supposed to happen if adult Wyatt wasn't there? So Vicus has this plan to curse, you know, the bear, turn him evil, but because he found out that future Wyatt was there, it's like, oh, I get to see the future literally unfold right before my very eyes. But let's say that he wasn't there. Wyatt didn't turn evil immediately. Do you remember? He's like, he still looks like a sweet boy. And he goes, over time, the bear will start eating up at him. So, like, is Vicus was going to wait like 20 years to like take his power for the collective? Was he just going to hang around and be with him the whole time? Like, how long was this plan supposed to work?
Yeah, You know what?
I just don't know what the immediate action would have been after the bear was cursed. It just seemed like a very long plan. So what was supposed to happen after the bear?
For some reason in my head, I assumed he was going to take him then because he was able to be taken. But you're right. That isn't the plan, because the plan was just the bear was just going to slowly poison him with evilness and, you know, negativity and whatever. So
I guess kidnap him afterwards. I just want to know what phase two was.
Well, we might learn next season that demons put plans into effect for years.
Yeah.
Just keep that in mind.
Oh, so the other thing that I wrote here, which I thought was funny, was when the sisters show up with the potions and Vicus is invisible and he's like, you can't see him. There's no way you're going to hit him. Even if I was invisible, I would have been hiding behind Wyatt the whole time. I was like, these sisters are not going to accidentally throw a potion on me. I would be hiding right behind him. You're going to protect me.
You're right, though, because they could have actually honestly just gotten it right by accident.
Yeah, right? So I like something that Leo said when he was convincing Piper that he needs to be bait, even though he doesn't have powers. He says, I may not have powers, but I'm not powerless. And I freaking love that line. I just think it's a really nice line.
That. Yes, because you don't have to have power to still have power inside.
Yeah, yeah. So I really enjoyed this. When Wyatt goes to magic school to kidnap young Wyatt, I love this because he comes in, he goes, oh, I've always hated magic school. And I go, you and me both, we all hate magic school.
Now, that couldn't have been written in. Do you think that was tongue-in-cheek because they heard at that point people weren't liking it? Or
that's a good question. I don't know how much fandom was on about magic school, to be honest, but it could have been. I mean, it was
I hated it. As soon as it came, I said, no, no.
But I want to talk about when Wyatt attacks the sister. So he throws Phoebe to the wall, summons tons of demons, a gaggle of them, to attack the sisters. I don't know how they got out of that with the little scrapes that they got, because they should have died. But they don't explain how they got out of there. I'm assuming they just like real quickly orbed out, but yeah.
I took it that Wyatt, this is the only explanation I had, because they would have been dead, Rob, to me too. Especially Paige was surrounded unless she orbed out and left Phoebe. That Wyatt just had them, wanted them distracted for the moment and told the demons not to kill them. That's the only thing I can think of.
That is totally fair. But it also brings me to another edition of WWPD. What would Prue do? So this is a little bit of a behind the scenes question regarding Prue. Let's say that she is still alive and with the sisters fighting. She's in the lair fighting alongside Paige and Phoebe to distract and yada, yada, yada. Now, Phoebe gets thrown. Paige and Phoebe are both attacked by all of these demons. They also seemed a little bit, you know, foiled on their plan to turn Wyatt back. If Prue was still around, do you think that the writers would have allowed Prue to be a part of this foiled plan, to be bum-rushed by a bunch of demons and not have the upper hand in the underworld? Or do you think the scene would still play out with Prue not being the supreme witch and not getting out of that situation? Because I have a feeling she would have just moved her hand. They all would have went like flying, yep, and then they would have got out of there. Do you think the writers would have allowed her to be as vulnerable as Phoebe and Paige was, to get thrown against a wall by Wyatt, stuff like that? What do you think? Would they have done that to Prue?
No, because honestly, I don't think Shannon would have let it happen to the character.
What do you think that says about her? I mean, like, we all claim that Prue is the supreme. She is everything that a witch could be. But is that because she was written that way? And I hate to say this, because I don't dislike it, but I always question, like, how are wrestlers so famous when they're written to be good? They're written to win. They're written to be popular and to win audiences. Now, I know that they usually write characters to succeed because they're popular based on their popularity, their personality, and their fandom. So if people like you, then they're going to write you to win. So is that what was happening with Shannon? We just loved her so much she couldn't do no wrong. Or did she become the supreme being because she was written to not have any, you know, less mistakes, I guess you could say.
Oh, this is so good, Rob. Oh my God. And I love we're talking about Prue. Oh my God, you raised so many good points. As you were talking, I was just like,
I ramble. I'm sorry, I ramble.
No, they were like great points, and they gave me chills almost. I was thinking of what we would have had if she was still here. So yes, I'm going to try to think of what I was thinking of and maybe answer something. So yes, Prue was, I think, written in that way to the extent that she was the oldest and she had that active power in the beginning. So yes, she was always going to be the one in the front, the go-getter, the protector, the this. But I do think it is a mix of Shannon, the actress, Prue the character, and her wanting Prue to be, you know, the lead of the show, which to me, I thought she always was until, you know, what happened. So, yeah, I think it's that. And I actually think that Prue would go back with him, like, verbally, Wyatt.
Yeah, they would yes, exactly. But, I mean, so, is that a good...
I would have loved to have seen that. I would have loved to have seen it.
Is that a good thing, though? Or, you know, do we ever feel a little bit of raising the stakes? You know, like, I just wonder if this show wouldn't have been as suspenseful if she was still around, you know?
Ooh,
and I'm not saying saying she's perfect. Right. I'm not. But there were a lot of situations, I think, that could have been written differently had this very educated, smart witch still been around. And some of this shit would never happen. And I just wonder if the stakes would have been as high.
I honestly, and again, this opens up a whole new subject, so I won't dive deep into it. I'll just say, I honestly do think Shannon was the one that was keeping that character on point and not allowing the writers to be wishy-washy with it. So I think once you left it, and I hate to say it, maybe not that Alyssa and Holly and Rose didn't love their characters and defend them, but I could see Shannon being adamant and defending the character and not letting her make these mistakes, like you said, like the writers wrote over the years of like when we say like, why didn't they just do that? Like, I could see Shannon being like, not that Shannon Doherty, I'm saying, is an a writer and this, and she comes up with all this, but I could see her being protective of the character and not letting them do stupid, dumb things like you're saying, like over the course of the years. Definitely. Oh,
well,
I wish.
We'll just leave it at that. Charmies, if you have any opinions on this, feel free to let us know. We'd love to hear from you. So the two Wyatts orb into the attic. Adult Wyatt tries to persuade baby Wyatt to bring him the book. Adult Wyatt, though evil, is unwilling to harm Leo. I fucking love this. I freaking love this. And Wyatt is so goddamn cute when he cries and gets sad. I love it. I love it. So Leo talks to baby Wyatt into handing over the teddy bear. The teddy bear glows, the curse is lifted, and adult Wyatt transforms back into the good version. Okay, so before I finish, I want to get into this scene. So Wyatt, even though he is evil, has some emotion. This man couldn't wait to cry on this scene. I swear to you, he was pulling his Days of Our Lives stunts on him. I mean, he called him dad and he was like, don't make me hurt you. And then he even said, please. He said, please. Like when he said, please, I was like, he loves this man so much. And just when he shuts his eyes, that is him conceding. He was like, I'm not even going to fight this. Turn Wyatt back good. I'm not even going to fight it. But I want to add
teddy bear.
I know. But I want to ask you something, Ryan. Do you feel that this final scene, especially with Wyatt being as powerful as he is, was a good final high stakes showdown? Like, it just seemed to have been resolved a little bit too easy. I mean, that's all it took was, you know, just this father trying to, you know, console the baby to turn him. I get the emotional impact, but just everything that happened leading up to this, I just feel that it was just resolved just like that.
I actually agree. Although I do love that it comes down to Leo's love, and they gave Leo that moment, and he gets to have these moments with the sons all the time. But
well, to also show that
it is anticlimactic a little.
But he's also showing the fact that, you know, again, even though he has no powers, there is a lot that he can contribute to the Charmed Ones as far as like saving the day.
That's right. That's right.
So Piper says a spell to send adult Wyatt back. A son in the future, a son in the past, seeing anew what once has passed. Return him now to whence he came, right when he left, all now the same. And now baby Wyatt begins to talk. Fire truck!
Oh, is that your real father, Wyatt? No. The fireman?
I know, right? Fire truck. That's funny.
The professor, we got to see Phoebe's professor apologize to her. So I'm glad that that wrapped up, because that would have been awkward for the remainder of the class for both of them.
Yeah. It's also good to show that just last week she was like, I'm going back to school, and they have a scene of her at school. So it was nice for them to, for continuity, that she really actually did what she was supposed to do, or she said she was going to do. So I thought that was cool.
Do you think the girls were like, oh no, she's going to keep coming up with this information. Every time she learns something from school, she's going to tell us again. Oh God. So Rob, I love this ending, because it reminds me of Sailor Moon, because Sailor Moon's daughter from the future comes all the time. And I thought this was just a little thing. So this happens all the time in Sailor Moon. So when this happened at the time, when Charmed with Chris and everything, I continuously thought of Sailor Moon. Because her future daughter comes back, and they didn't know it was the daughter from the future at first, too. So it's very, I like this parallel of loving Sailor Moon, too. The daughter invokes the god Kronos to go through the door of time. So did we ever get a Kronos on Charmed? We got a Kryto.
I don't know. I would have to look that up. I don't think so.
Because we got Tempest, right? So, because Kronos evidently is the Greek god of time.
We got a Cronus. He was one of the Titans.
We did get a Cronus. Okay, so that's probably okay. So, I just thought I'd mention that. So, and she does a little spell too, which is, I'm just going to read it. Time Guardian, tear apart the sky and open the space-time door to me. I call the true name of the almighty god of time, the time guardian's father, Kronos, reveal the path of light. So that's how Sailor Moon's daughter. So it reminded me of this. I don't know why, but it just came to me. And I just love this. I love when they get to see the future son, like with Chris, and they get to do their goodbyes. I think Charmed is at its height when it's involving family matters. And
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. So that wraps up season 7, episode 20, Imaginary Friends. Again, I think the episode definitely paid off from what I remember. I enjoy this villain. I also love that this episode was very in-house, right? Like, it didn't involve a lot of locations and things being disrupted from what was happening. This was a family matter, and it just involved just the cast, you know? And I like that. It was very contained, and it was, you know, I just thought it was a really nice episode. So.
Amen. I agree.
Next week on Charmed, Death Becomes Them. Yes. I have no idea what this is. Ryan, what is this?
This is known, and I will remember this for the till the day I die, which hopefully isn't soon. The charmed title for this episode on the WB was "I Slept with a Zombie." Oh, does that ring any bells to you?
Not at all. What is this?
This, oh, I love this episode. I love it. I love it. A Face from the Past returns. All the way from season 3, I will just say. Does that ring a bell to you?
I will have to think about it. Off the top of my head, it just, I have no idea what this episode
Sleeping
is
about. Sleeping with Zombies didn't do it for you. I'm just joking. That has nothing to do with the tide, the plot, and they just, they call it Sleeping with I Slept with a Zombie or something like that.
I don't remember this at all. So I guess I have something to look forward to for next week. Before we shut down our episode, though, it is episode 20, another 4 episodes since our last Charmed theme game. Now, I put on Instagram and Twitter that the last and final game is called The Index. So just think categories. Ryan and I were given 3 letters, and with each letter, we come up with 5 words that begin with that letter that is charmed specific. Now, we can't use words like pen or chair because there was a chair in the charmed world that got blown up from Piper. That doesn't count. These are very specific charmed-like words that you would most likely find in a charmed verse index or keywords that popped up in Charmed. So this is actually a cooperative game. We're not competing this time. The two of us are going to share our words. And our goal is collectively at the end of the 3 letters, we have a collective number of 7 unique words that the other person did not have. So if Ryan and I have the same word, they get canceled out. Can we come up with 7 unique words that the other person didn't say? And the letters were C, G, and J. And I don't know if you guys played along, but get your list out. We are going to go through our list. So let's do C.
And pray for us.
Yeah.
Because you know how we how it involves me with games, yeah. How it goes.
So let's do C first. So, Ryan, you came up with... Oh, wow. During the game, she waited this long. Wow.
Thank you for enjoying the episode, Witch Watcher. I guess you listened this week.
Yeah, she must. Yeah, she must have been very in tune to this episode. So the Witch Watcher sees and tells all. This is who she sees. One does not summon the devil by chance. Even the weakest heart, the most corruptible soul. They must make the choice. They must extend their hand.
Wow. When the first 2 lines of one does not summon the devil by chance sounds so familiar to me.
You're not going to get it because you did not like this.
Oh, is it from... Oh, I know what it's from. Is it from Fear Street?
It is from Fear Street.
As soon as you said I didn't like this, Fear Street.
There's a lot of stuff you don't like. How did you know it was Fear Street?
Because I know you loved that.
We have not done this witch yet. So who you thought was the witch in this trilogy did not end up being the witch. The witch actually ended up being Solomon Good, who is a guy whose descendants carried on this specific curse that granted them advantage in their town and in his family while cursing a neighbor town and also framing a girl named Sarah Fear. So Solomon
Good... Why they always
got
to curse towns? Four towns.
So Solomon Good is our Witch of the Week. Now, you watched all 3, right?
No, I never finished the last.
I knew you didn't finish the last one. You're such a hater. Yes, so it was a period piece, took place during the Salem trials, yada yada. I don't know why you could make it. First of all, You knew.
You know what? And this is right up my alley, too. But
here's the thing. If you watch the third half, the whole thing is not in the past. Only the first half is, because they reveal the secret about Solomon. Then they go back to the present and wrap it all up and handle shit. Because they got to get rid of the one in the present. So you missed a good ass. You missed all that action sequence of the present.
But you know what? I am catching up now during my my sickness. So you know what? Maybe I'll finish it.
You're funny. Well, Solomon Good is on the list of our mini witches. Welcome, welcome. Okay, Ryan. Tell me one of the words that you have for the letter C.
I have the word, I'll give you a good one, Krito.
Krito is very good. You know why? Because I also have Krito. Yeah. I know. Well, duh, that was going to come up. Okay. I wrote down Charmed. You didn't write down Charmed.
No.
Okay. Well, that's one. What's your second C word?
Cleaners.
Ooh.
The cleaners, though.
I did not write the cleaners. That's a good one. Good one. Okay. So that's two. We're already good. Okay. Clyde.
Ugh. Yes, it was.
You put Clyde. You put Clyde. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. What is your what's another word?
Calling.
Paige, I put
calling for the.
I put calling. I put calling. I put calling. Okay, so I think what is that? Charm. Yeah. Blah 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 blah. Okay, so here's the last word. Crystal.
Oh no! I didn't have that.
I thought you would well, I don't know why I thought you would have crystal, because I shouldn't have put it down, but...
Because you know I love crystal circle, but...
Yes. You didn't write crystal down.
No, I wrote Cupid.
Oh, Cupid. Okay.
Yeah, season two Cupid.
I did not write that down. So that means, what, we had three? Is that three or four? No, three. Okay, so that's three.
Okay.
Not bad. Not bad.
More than I thought.
Yeah, I thought we would match on this one. Okay, so let's move on to the letter G. I wrote down guardians.
Oh, G. Okay, yeah. I'm like, guard? Yes. I wrote guardian of the urn. Does that count? Because that's two different things.
It's the same. We can't count that. Okay, what's your second word?
Glamoring.
I put down glamour, so that doesn't count either. Damn it. I put genie.
Oh, I didn't.
You didn't put genie. Okay, that's number four. Okay, what's your fourth word?
Grimoire.
Good one. I did not put grimoire. That's a good one. So that's five. Okay. Five. I put down gamel.
I did not put down.
You didn't put gamel down? Wow, I guess I should have upped the stakes on this. We might make our seven. Okay, what was your fifth word?
Gypsy.
Oh, look at that. Gypsy. I did not put that down. Okay, well, look at that. We made our goal. Seven. Yay. But for funsies.
Yes, for funsies.
J.
Javna.
Well, duh, Javna made the list. Javna does not count. Okay. I put Jenny with a J. You did? Oh, okay. Okay.
I did. I also put Jack Sheridan.
I did not put Jack Sheridan. That's good. But I did put Aunt Jackie, though.
Oh, you put Aunt Jackie? I was going to put Aunt Jackie because I thought that was going to be so random. I'm so glad I didn't. Wow, we thought alike.
Yeah.
I wrote down Jason Dean.
Ooh, good one. I did not put Jason Dean. I put Jarek, though.
Oh, you did put... Okay, that was good. See, I didn't put Jarek. Okay, this was the weird one. I originally had Jeep. Because I feel like Jeep is so close to the... Like, Piper's always in that freaking Jeep.
Yeah,
but then I Jeep Cherokee. To Jeremy.
Okay, I did not put Jeremy down, which is weird. Or maybe I chose not to because maybe you would. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't put. But my last one was Jersey. Jersey was one of the ice cream truck kids.
Ew. Ugh.
I know.
Jersey. What are they from, Zombieland?
But I knew you wouldn't have that, so I definitely put that.
Not at all.
So, very simple game. Went by real quick. It looks like we definitely... So if we play this again, we'll definitely have to up the stakes. But if there are any other words that we didn't think of, we want to hear what words you had put down. So let us know. On the episode notes or where I post this earlier this week. We'll have to bring back these games next season. Did you have fun with them?
Oh my God, yes. Especially the one that I did terribly, which was the first. What was our first one that was the name of that?
Spellbound.
Spellbound. Actually, I think my favorite was writing the spell. Yeah.
Yeah. You like writing the spell? I like the one word ones, the word up. I like word up. That was fun.
Word up. That was, yeah. Actually, I liked all of them, honestly.
Yeah. Never have I ever, we need to get better at. That's the one that we stuck at.
That is the terror. I could still, I'm like, never, ever, ever. Oh, wait, you're Paige. Oh, wait, no, I'm Prue.
Okay. Well, everyone, thank you for listening to our episode this week. I hope you guys had a lot of fun and enjoyed your Sunday brunch or whenever you are listening to this episode. Hopefully Ryan recovers and we'll have another episode coming up next week. We are two episodes away from wrapping this season up. Oh, Zanku, like, I've just noticed he's been gone for a long time. I don't remember him being gone this long. He only came back once before the finale.
Yeah, I always thought he was more involved too. But
yeah, no. It's crazy. Well, we'll see you next week on another Brunch with the Hollowells. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Starting Sunday, only two fresh episodes left of Charmed. The Walking Dead.
Like zombies?
Are hunting a Charmed One.
They're trying to freak you out.
But Phoebe's found a protector who can't protect her.
You know me, busy little bee.
Fresh Charmed, I Slept with a Zombie on the WB's Big Sunday.
Charmy Confession.
Okay, so we have two entries from Twitter and a voicemail. Somebody left a voicemail on Anchor, so we're going to get to that last. Ryan, lead us in. What did you see on Twitter?
Well, one of our charmies, Jordan, on Twitter, she found at the Goodwill this really cool, amazing, like big triquatra, and she sent a picture, and I love it. And I love the plant too, Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for the plants.
And she tagged us. So, I mean, it's just like, it's cool that, you know, she gets something like this. And then one of the first things that she does is like tag us to let us know. And I think that's awesome. So thank you for sharing that. I think that's cool. I don't have one in my house and I'm a big fan. So I don't know what that makes me. Hopefully I'm a good enough charm fan that I don't have one in my house.
You have your triquatra in your heart.
Yeah. Also on Twitter, Isaiah Kasten commented on a post that I had on season 6, episode 20, A Wrong Day's Journey into Right. So he comments, wait, Mr. Right? As in my Mr. Right? Which is something that Piper said. And I'm like, yeah, Piper, it's all got to be about you. But yeah, it looks like he's catching up and stumbled upon that on the tweet. So I just thought that was funny. On Instagram, I tried to get opinions about Alyssa Milano's new film on Netflix, which is called Brazen. Unfortunately, it did not go very well. So we had a comment that said, an anxious face down, you know, thumbs down emoji. Mm-hmm. We also had someone say it was just okay. The acting was sort of disappointing. but it killed some boredom time. But others also commented
that's
good, that
they, at least, right? Yeah.
Others commented that they were watching it, but they did not leave an opinion about it. So are you going to watch it, Brazen?
Yeah, I am going to watch it. I know Chinlin, one of our charmies and friends, she watched it as well. I do want to watch it. It's on my list. And it was number 2 on Netflix. I think at one point I saw it. It was so weird seeing, you know, Alyssa as number 2. So, I'm assuming you didn't watch it yet then.
No, I didn't watch it.
But I mean, hell, it honestly looks like to me, which this sounds terrible, but it looks like almost like a Lifetime movie that got the Netflix pickup is what I'm getting.
Yeah, I totally agree. So we have a voicemail from a new person this time, Angela Sweeney. All right, let's hear what she had to say.
Hi, Robin Ryan, longtime Charmed fan here, finally getting caught up with the podcast. Just finished listening to where you were talking about the actor Julian McMahon. And if you listen in interviews, it's McMahon. Like it's M-A-N at the end. Just wanted to add that. If you search out interviews, you can hear that. Hope it helps settle that debate. Thanks for everything you've done with the podcast. It's a lot of fun to listen to.
Okay, so it seems that somebody actually decided to have us hear exactly how it's pronounced. And so there's a little bit of a difference that we're hearing from different Charm fans. Just like, oh god,
you didn't see Rob's face when we're listening to this and we're just like, oh my gosh,
oh so it's a little different. So I'm gonna have to look up some interviews and actually listen to how people are saying it, and maybe the interviewers are saying it wrong themselves. If he says it that way, then I will definitely be like, that's how you say it. So I'll be doing some digging.
Can we have I was going to call him McMahon now. Oh my God. Can we have the awards of the, how to pronounce? Is it A, B, C, yeah. D, this way, that way? Oh my God. But I'm so glad that Angela.
Yes.
I'm so glad, Angela, that you used that voicemail feature, because I know I get the biggest excitement when Rob is like, we got a voicemail.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you coming through and playing that for us. That's really nice of you. And anybody who has any thoughts on past episodes that we've done, also the Charmed episodes that we just recapped, feel free to leave a voicemail on Anchor FM. Once you look up our podcast, you'll see a message button. You can leave 1 minute audio recordings, and you can leave as many as you need in case you need more than a minute to say your piece, and we will play it on the show.
Thank you for that. Love the voicemails. Keep them coming. Keep them coming.